Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning. We were talking about yo-yos, so I think we'll open the show up talking about the yo-yos that are running the recall.
Boy, howdy. Tell you what. Good morning, Nick. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing as good as I can with a little bit I got left to work with. You know, I got to thinking the other day I was educated at one time, and it took me years to get over it.
Well, you know, I would never claim that I've been educated once, so you're ahead of me. So we have some clips you wanted to start off the show with today, I hear.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I've been feeling sorry for Nathan. You know, he goes to the supervisor's meetings, and he wants to get us straightened out. And, you know,
that's why he's wearing it, you know, during while he's wearing his Black Lives Matter hat. So he wants to make sure that we're aware of what matters. So, good.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, our audience, 90%, probably 99% of them don't go to those meetings. So they really don't understand the message that Nathan's trying to get out. So I thought we'd go over that. And I want you to get a pen and a piece of paper because I've got some places I want you to go. A little bit later, I'm going to tell you where to find Stephanie Bridget's presentation on dispersing the Zog Fire funds. And then I'm going to tell you to go where to go, and you can listen to Sean Nathan explain why Kevin Cry is exactly right about bringing this up and everything.
Oh, good.
You know, one thing, let me bring something up about that. One thing Kevin meeting before this last meeting, he proposed the county pay $10,000 to hire an outside attorney to take a look at this to see if he was accurate in what he was bringing out.
Yeah.
Oh, and they poo-pooed that, and the recall people got up there and they talked about what they could do with that $10,000 they could take and fill up potholes and house the homeless and all that stuff. Well, as a matter of fact, lawyers came out of the woodwork.
Oh?
Pro bono. We'll look at it. I think four or five of them were judges willing to look at it. And Sean Northam, he looked at it. And he says, Kevin's exactly right. So the way I calculated is Kevin saved us $10,000 by soliciting these guys to look at it. So I think what we should do is fill up a bunch of wagons for these little sissies and fill them up with asphalt, and they can go around town and fill up potholes.
I think that's a damn good idea. I think that we should have them. I mean, you know, when you look at it, Cry is actually saving us money with almost every decision. We're not going to send $1.5 million to a soon-to-be bankrupt company. Now he saved us $10,000. I mean, where does the money stop coming in at?
Oh, plus, you know, the continuum of care. He doesn't get all the credit, but he started the ball rolling on saving our county money. And the United Fund, some darn thing's going to take it over, and they figure it's going to cost them $200,000 a year to administer the continuum of care and all the programs that go along with it. And as a matter of fact, later in the article, it said that the county was paying more than that.
Oh, well, there you go. More money saved.
Can you imagine how many potholes, Jeff Godert and Tim Hill and Nathan Blaze can fill up with that?
David Benda could join them.
Oh, absolutely. You know, David Benda, I approached him at the last meeting.
Yes, you were telling me a little bit about this. Please elaborate.
Well, David, I said, David, you know, the way you write your story is misleading. I've had a half a dozen people tell me that the way they understand it is Alex Pilecki got up there and said, I'm not, and he used the N-word, and that Nathan jumped up and protested and got kicked out. I said, David, it was 20 minutes later. He got kicked out for disrupting the meeting. That issue was, oh, Nick, you're splitting hairs.
Well, that's how liberals work. It's funny is we have a friend guest in the building with us today, and we were talking about that he was watching Mayorkas and the hearings, and that's just how they work. They don't answer the question. They divert. They never answer what you ask them. And so that's Benda. Why? What does it matter, Nick? It matters a lot. Words matter, still, somewhat, sometimes.
I tried to pursue it. You're splitting hairs, Nick. I've got to take this call. That's their usual deal about when they're done talking with you. Oh, I've got to take this call. I'll be back. And, you know, if they say they'll be back.
Well, George Soros is calling, so they got to pick that phone call up.
So we've got a clip coming up here, and this is a prime example of how Nathan is trying to move our county forward. Can we have that clip, please, Christina? And by the way, good morning, Christina. It's so nice to see a smiling face in here in the morning.
Very good morning. Yes, of course. Give me a second.
Nathan, followed by Pam Lynn, and then Alex Bilecki after that. Real quick, I'd like to remind everyone that I have a First Amendment right and that this board failed to pass a code of conduct. So with that being said, I'm going to try that in a small town. Patrick Henry Jones, the most dangerous man in Shasta County. Through a campaign of disinformation, intimidation, and blatant lies, Patrick has risen to one of the most powerful positions in the county. He preys on the fears of his uneducated constituents through grandstanding and bad faith arguments. Patrick is a bully. He has used his seat to intimidate and harass many citizens of Shasta County. He even blackmailed a former county employee who then quit. If he is reelected in 2024, he will continue to burn Shasta County to the ground for his own personal gain. Instead of passing useful policies that would benefit the county, he uses his power to grandstand to his base, all while wasting the time and money of the taxpayers who pay his salary. He turned down a grant from a foundation funded by Mark Zuckerberg to build a better, more secure elections office and stated that an out-of-town billionaire has no place spending money on Shasta County politics, all while being funded by an out-of-town billionaire himself. He is the epitome of a hypocrite. Patrick is not a leader. He is a swine, a vulgar little liar, a pathetic, worthless bag of filth. He is a putrescence mass, a walking vomit, and a spineless little worm deserving nothing but the profoundest of contempt. He is a bloody, nardless, twitted, proto-hominid, chromosomally aberrant caricature of a coprophagic, cloacal, parasitic pond scum. He is a bleeding fool, a curdled, staggering mutant smeared richly with the effluvian offal accompanying his alleged birth into this world. He is an insensate, blinking calf, meaningful to nobody, abandoned by the puke, drooling, giggling beasts who sired him and then jumped off of a cliff in recognition of what they had done. I cannot believe how incredibly stupid he is. I mean rock-hard stupid, dehydrated rock-hard stupid, stupid so stupid that it goes way beyond the stupid that we know into a whole different dimension of stupid. He is trans-stupid stupid, meta-stupid, stupid collapsed on itself so far that even the neutrons have collapsed, stupid so dense that no intellect can escape, singularity stupid, blazing hot midday sun on Mercury stupid. Perhaps he is some primordial fragment from the original Big Bang of stupid, some pure essence of stupid, so uncontaminated by anything else that is to be beyond the laws of physics as we know. If he is in fact not an idiot, he has made a world-class effort at emulating one. We as Shasta County citizens need to excise this mystifying level of stupid from our society. To do this, we can recall Kevin Cry, which will in turn take the power away from Patrick Jones, because of Patrick and his lackeys, Shasta County is the laughingstock of the entire state. The dozens and dozens of articles describing just how stupid things have gotten here are wholly because of Patrick's lack of rational judgment. The state of California is passing new laws simply to deal with Patrick's immeasurable stupidity. If you are a Shasta County District 1 resident, please visit www.recallkevincry.org and find out where to sign. If this does not happen, Patrick and his gigolos will continue to push through policy after policy onto this county with reckless abandonment. Please sign the petition and end the stupidity. Thank you.
You know, I must have put the wrong clip up there, because the next clip, I know Nathan's got something good to say about us. You know, these meetings are supposed to be, when you go up at open comment, things that apply to the county.
Yes.
And, you know, the thing he just explained is they're trying, in his opinion, to recall Kevin Cry because Patrick, in his opinion, is stupid.
Yes.
Boy, run out and sign that recall.
Well, you know, and the funny thing is, everything that this village idiot espouses is the only people that are against it are liberals.
Okay, and she just explained to you what happened.
Hold on there. We're getting there. That's probably number two. It's coming up. Go ahead.
The only ones who are on Nathan's side are idiot liberals, stupid people who want communism. That is what is supporting the recall. So, folks, if you're out there and you're listening, that is who is supporting this recall, is liberals, because it's not conservatives that are trying to rewrite the election laws. It's liberals. It's not conservatives that are writing stories that are about Skagit County, how bad it is. We're getting great press from the conservative side of the aisle, but the liberals hate it because the problem with liberals is they're cockroaches. And when the light gets turned on, they scurry. And that's what's happening right now, is their little reign is coming to an end, and they just don't like it.
Let me point out another thing that he brought up.
Oh, he almost identified Patrick Jones as the worst thing ever, a man. That would have really put it on the top right there. Just saying.
Another thing he brought up is Patrick Jones turned down $1.5 million from Mark Zuckerberg that was going to build a new building. Well, as a matter of fact, Zuckerberg offered $1.5 million, but it wasn't specifically to build a building. It was, in my opinion, to throw more roadblocks to honest elections in Shasta County. I think he wanted to put up drop boxes and probably have his own program for counting votes. I'm just making that up, but that wouldn't. But it was for a lot of different things. And Kevin Cry stood up and said, I won't sign this unless it's specifically for a building.
Yep.
Now, I talked to Patrick about 6 or 8 weeks ago, and he told me, he says, you know, it looks like we're going to get that money to build a building for specifically for the election department. Yes, Kevin gets credit for that.
Well, and you know what's interesting is, and I'd like to see the budget, but $1.5 million is not going to be a very big building. That's not going to be worth nothing. I mean, building a house since the car fire used to be about 140 a square foot to build a house. Lots already there. Everything's there. So 140. To build a single family house is now approaching $250 per square foot to build a single family house, wood with drywall. So what are they going to get for $1.5 million, I wonder?
Well, I don't know. Maybe we could give it to the Continuum of Care, and they could build a whole bunch of 100-square-foot houses.
There we go. So you got another clip coming.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll get to this other clip. But, you know, they just keep pointing out the good thing. Kevin Cry, he mentioned, too, on Carl Bott's show, I think it was Thursday, Kevin said he's thinking about going to every week, that there's just so much to unpack.
Oh, I bet.
Which would be a great thing, because Doug and I spoke about it, and we'd like to just stay right here at 8 o'clock on Sunday mornings, and we'll go every other week, being winter's coming up. It won't cut into our, you know, skiing out at the lake and mountain climbing and horseback riding and all the things we do on the week we're off. Can we have that second clip? This is Nathan.
Yes, sir, you are very pathetic.
Yes, I know I am.
So this first part is rhetorical, but I was wondering if you three stooges heard about Donald Trump and his co-conspirators being indicted under the RICO Act for election interference. Just asking because I want to know if you're scared, because if any of you have even a modicum of intelligence, you should be. Not only that, as we all know, Fox News had to pay $787 million to Dominion for false election fraud claims. These are the two sources from where the three of you and your many willfully ignorant supporters got all this election fraud disinformation from in the first place, and now look what's happening to them. You three voted to cancel our Dominion contract based solely off the lies pushed from these entities that you yourselves then pushed onto our community, and in Kevin's case, other communities as well. Kevin, you seem to be very loudly and very publicly in connection with many in the upper echelons of the GOP, and I would even go so far as to speculate that you may have even had direct contact with at least one of the people included in these indictments. What are the authorities going to find on their phones or in their emails? Maybe that's why you, Kevin, decided to cancel your trip to the upcoming election fraud conspiracy seminar. By the way, as you all just saw on the flyer for that event, Kevin Cry and Rudy Giuliani are prominently featured. After Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, and Mike Lindell are behind bars for being the traitors that they are, will you three be next? As the saying goes, crap rolls downhill, and you three are standing at the bottom with your mouths wide open. Thanks to politicians with much more integrity than these three have, at least Shasta County's election systems are safe now. After my speech at the last meeting, which I'm sure you had to Google 90% of, you, Patrick, said, Thank you, Nathan, for nothing. Well, that nothing has over 1.6 million views, and that's because I am by far not the only one who hates you for what you're attempting to not only do to this county, but this country as well. So to you, Patrick, thank you. Thank you for your lack of self-control, because it's allowed me to expose you to the nation as you truly are, a selfish, corrupt, bigoted little coward of a man and a traitor to this community. And you, Chris, it's clear to everyone here that you're nothing more than a fluffer. Your entire position could be easily replaced by a pair of red and green lights with Patrick holding the activation button in his tiny little hands. You're literally worthless to Shasta County because your only purpose is to give Patrick Jones a second vote, and everyone damn well knows it. You all have talked about legacy. Well, this RICO indictment is a finalizing contribution to the already rectally sourced legacy that you three are going to leave behind. When this is all said and done, you'll be written about in the history books as shining examples of how not to be patriotic Americans. So have fun watching the news, because I sure as hell will.
I've got a prediction here. I predict that Jeff Godert, Susan Barrymore, Tim Hill, and Lisa, Nathan's girlfriend, wrote this because he's reading it off his phone, and he probably practices all week.
Well, you know, the funny thing is Nathan obviously holds the politicians in high esteem that go by the name of Biden, Harris, Pelosi, Newsom,
Fetterman.
So those are the ones he holds in high. So I asked the listener to choose what side would you prefer to be on, the side of those folks or the other side. And when you listen to this guy, I mean, I was actually thinking about this, Nick, because, you know, I'm not just going to sit there and bitch with you, because that's just not fair to our listeners. I have a solution. You know, this is just textbook from Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals, you know, disrupt and do all that stuff. I think Patrick Jones should give Nathan 3 minutes every day, every meeting at the start. It's a Nathan. We'll call it the Nathan Minute, but we'll give him three. And just let him espouse, because what happens is liberals are too stupid. They will eventually eat their own. They will start to listen to this guy and understand what a village idiot he is, and what he says is full of lies, and they will start to sit there and distance themselves from him, because that's the great thing about liberals is they eat their own. They really are cannibalistic when you've crossed the line. And just give Nathan 3 minutes. Just call it the Nathan Minute. Nathan, you can speak anything you want. You got 3 minutes. Go.
We got a third clip. Nathan, speak anything you want.
All right. Patrick Jones, you are not a lawyer, okay? This beautiful woman is a lawyer. Okay, and she just explained to you what happened. She may have missed one small detail, but that does not negate everything else that she just said. And by the way, she did all that research in like a couple hours last night. You know why? Because she's a lawyer. You're not. So here's what I see. The situation with Zogfire is terrible, and I do think that there needs to be more resources for the people out there to make sure the kind of thing never happens again. But that has nothing to do with why you guys are attacking Stephanie Bridget. She has been a target on your list ever since she charged Carlos Zapata for the situation at Blade and Barrel. You and all of your supporters had a whole protest against her, and she still charged them. On her desk right now are cases against Alex Bilecki, which involve you, and Mark Kent, which involve all three of you. You guys are grandstanding to your base, a word that Kevin likes to use so much, which is so crazy because how much he grandstands himself. But this is all a witch hunt to rile up and score a-hole points from your a-hole base. That's all this is. This has no teeth. There's nothing to it. You're trying to distract from the actual facts of what's going on by going after Stephanie Bridget. And again, you guys aren't lawyers. There's nothing to this. There's no point in this. You're only re-victimizing the people by bringing this all up again so that you can once again grandstand and act like you're actually doing something when you're doing nothing. This is nothing. It's just it's an ideological decision, once again, another ideological decision from you three that doesn't do anything for the county. If you want to do something for the county, then have a separate meeting and set aside some funds and spend those funds to give to the people of Igo Ono, or for where the Zog fire happened. That's what you need to do instead of using this situation to go after another politician that you ideologically disagree with. And it's just so transparent, and you guys have been doing this crap for
Christina.
So long. When are you going to...
That's enough of him. Go after a politician you idolistically don't agree with. Isn't that what they're doing to Kevin?
Well, that's exactly what it is. And what's funny is because the village idiot Nathan doesn't have a clue what he's talking about, let's just point this out. And Nathan, if you're listening, put on the ears. Stephanie Bridget is the most censored and condemned DA in the state of California. In her last election, it came to the surface that she has been censored disciplined by the state for withholding evidence that would have been exculpatory to the people. So she has been publicly admonished for withholding evidence, and I'm telling you, there is smoke where Kevin found fire here, because the reality is the guy who dropped the ball immediately got a judgeship from Governor Newsom. There's something there. I'm telling you, there's something there.
Okay, we're going to get to that. I want to read this to you. God is in control, but he doesn't expect you to lean on a shovel and pray for a hole. That means get off your butts and start paying attention and speaking out. We need some conservatives.
Yep.
You need to go to these meetings and listen to these people. That's just an example. They all pretty much speak that way when they speak at the meetings. They don't talk about what's wrong with the county. They don't talk about things that could be fixed or problems that they have. They just go up there and rant against those three.
Yep.
And we need some support, because I'm not going to just lean on the shovel.
No. And I've said it before, Nick, that, you know, the problem is America's gotten to this point because of liberals, because liberals are just too stupid to pull it off. They got there because we were working, we were doing our job, we were raising our kids, making businesses, and we took our eye off the ball. And they were able to slip through the stuff into the schools, to the universities, into our unions. And the reality is, this is where we end up, and the only way we're going to get it back is we have to start becoming unpleasant. You don't beat a school bully with nice words. You beat them with punching them in the nose.
That's right. Hey, yeah, I'm going to go over where all the money from the Zog fire went, and that'll take us to the break, and then we're going to discuss the Zog fire a bit. I've got some new stuff on it. Yeah, but right after the break, I've got a clip coming on I want you to listen to. So be sure and be here after the commercial. The Shasta County Fire Department got $15.5 million out of the $50 million. I could say a couple million could go to them, but what did they do that was out of the ordinary fighting that fire? Do they get paid for going to a fire, the Fawn Fire out here at Mountain Gate?
No.
That's what we pay them for. That other $13 million could have gone to a jail. The Anderson Fire Department got $3.5. The Redding Fire Department got $3.5. What'd they do out of the ordinary? They go to other fires.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's a big fire they can't handle in Red Bluff, they head on down there and help them, and vice versa.
Yep.
They don't get extra pay for that. The volunteer fire departments, I don't remember. Oh, I guess there's, I don't know how many are there. They got $5,000 apiece. It amounted to $85,000. These are the guys that could have used $100,000 apiece.
Yep. Updated their equipment.
Well, the Shasta County Fire District got $550,000. I don't know what they do. The Shasta County Sheriff got $2.7 million.
Ah, Michael.
You know, and my thoughts are, well, you know, maybe give them $500,000, but what'd they do out of the ordinary? I mean, we've got our sheriffs. We hire them to protect us. If they have to go down there and man roadblocks or arrest an arsonist or somebody down there stealing, that's their job.
Which they get paid for every single day anyways.
The Redding Police Department and the Anderson Police Department got $500,000 apiece. And, you know, the Anderson Police Department just told Mike Johnson, our sheriff, to shove it when it come to giving a man to come and help open up the one level of the jail.
Yeah.
You know, his proposal was for the Redding and Anderson to donate a man to get that opened up.
Yep.
Then we've got Shield, $2 million. I'm not real clear what they are. Shasta College got $2.4 million. What did Shasta College do for the Zog fire? Fire Safe Council got $500,000. I don't know whether that's good or not. The Arson Task Force, we've already got it. Why do they get $1.5 million? They already exist. You know, you take the Redding Police Department, what are they going to do with that money? But they said they were going to buy some kind of crowd control vehicle or something like that.
Oh, because that's what we need to do. We have a lot of crowd control necessary in Shasta County. Yes.
Shasta County Youth Fire Center Prevention got $85,000. hey, I could get a book of matches and go around and burn each kid in the thumb, and they'd learn not to fight fire or start fires. The Legacy Center, $7 million. We're going to talk about the Legacy Center here in just a little bit. Igo Ono School District got $200,000. I think $1 million would have been more appropriate out there.
Yeah.
Igo got hosed. Now, the spay neuter got $200,000, Haven Humane Spay Neuter. Bella Vista Animal Sanctuary got $500,000. They're way on Happy Valley Road. The way I understand it, they didn't house any of the animals from
the Zog Fire. I did not know that.
I could be mistaken, however unlikely that is.
Well, you're always right. Ask you.
The Jeremy Stokes Foundation got $280,000. Jeremy Stokes died in the car fire. But, you know, we've already got a foundation. Why'd they need some more money for that?
Feel good?
You know, that's it. That's exactly it. Haven Humane Society got $2.5 million.
Wow.
West Camp. You know, they've already run down the donation to West Camp. It's a great thing. But $1 million? They didn't have anything to do with the Zog Fire. Shasta County DA's office got $5 million. By law, they get that to finance litigation against these things. So, you know, it looks to me like, you know, there could have been $25 million here towards a new jail.
Well, a lot of money could have gone elsewhere, that's for sure.
You know, and you look at the Sheriff's Department, they got, what in the heck did they got? They got $2.7 million. I think Wind River's going to give them $1.5 million plus $10,000 a call. And they already got their hands out for more money. And that seems like that ought to staff the jail, the third floor of the jail. Anyway, we're going to break. You ready, Christina? She's doing such a good job.
Are you ready to go to the break?
Yes.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243 CT Reading.
Imagine a 34-year-old single mother leaving a full-time job to open a home care agency out of her dining room. Hi, this is Sharon Clark, CEO of Home Helpers, and that was my choice 19 years ago, and what a ride it has been. I was proudly my agency's first caregiver in August of 2004. Since then, Home Helpers has supported 2,500 families, employed 1,300 caregivers, moved 3 offices, and won numerous awards. Personally, our staff provided services for my aging grandparents, allowing them to stay at home in their final years. Home Helpers continues to thrive as Reading's leader in home care. Thank you to our wonderful community for championing my vision so many years ago. Thank you to the dedicated caregivers, past and present, for your compassion and professionalism. And thank you to the families who entrusted us with caring for your loved ones. Our services range from meal preparation to bathing assistance to transitioning home from the hospital. Learn more at ReadingHomeHelpers.com. 19 years and counting. Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love leads you home.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Which is it? Is it NBA or NFL? 36 have been accused of spousal abuse. 7 have been arrested for fraud. 19 have been accused of writing bad checks. 117 have directly or indirectly been bankrupted at least 2 businesses. 3 have done time for assault. 71, I repeat, 71 cannot get a credit card due to their bad credit. 14 have been arrested on drug-related charges. 8 have been arrested for shoplifting. 21 currently are defendants in lawsuits, and 84 have been arrested for drunk driving in the last year. How many of you think NBA? How many of you think NFL? Well, the answer is neither. It's the 435 members of the United States Congress. Which is it? Is it NBA?
Isn't that something? Now, think about California. Those people are dictating our national policies. They're sticking their nose in our elections where it shouldn't be. But here in California, we've got 120 senators and assemblymen shoving things down our throat just like that. I dare say they've got the same type of record.
Oh, I would guarantee they do. I mean, you know, we had Megan Dolly at the Board of Realtors a couple of weeks ago, and we asked some pretty, you know, probing questions, and you could tell by her responses that she is flabbergasted and frustrated because, you know, even she said when she could get a bill put together to go, it just gets killed at the governorship. But, you know, these people who are running the state, they've never opened a business. Many of them have never had employees, and yet they're telling us how to do both of those items. And again, those are the people, and I want it, those are the people that Nathan want controlling our election. Let's be very clear. That's who Nathan and the recall people want controlling our election. So let that sink in, folks, that those are the people that these guys, these recall people, want telling who is our next supervisor.
Okay, we're going to go to the Legacy Center. Christina's going to get the clips ready. I've got two clips. Here's what I want to say about the Legacy Center. It's a very, very good program. But there is three programs in California, one in Los Angeles, one in San Francisco, and one here in Redding. The state suggested that we start these programs. It's a nonprofit. And the fact is, the Northern California covers 21 counties. Now, Chief Shuler told me that there's seven or eight, six or seven, one or the other. And he might mean that's the only ones that have come on board so far. He's always been a straight shooter with me. I've got nothing bad to say about Roger Moore or Bill Shuler. And to move on with that, you take a look at the Zog Fire funds that went to the Legacy Center. That money's getting distributed, theoretically, to all the counties that are involved with the Legacy Center.
Oh, so it didn't even stay local.
Well, it stayed local, but they're getting the benefit off of that $7 million, off of a program that's dictated as to the state that they won't finance.
Yep.
I wonder what they threatened Northern California with if they didn't start a Legacy Center.
I don't know.
We'd have probably lost some funds somewhere.
Well, we should have just taken our property taxes and not forward them to Sacramento. We'd probably offset and be equal.
Okay, get your writing pen out. If you go to Shasta County Board of Supervisors, get on their website and look to the left. There's six or seven green boxes on there. If you click on the one that says Watch Meetings Online, all of the archives will pop up, and they're in order. If you did that today and clicked on the first one, at the timestamp of 2 hours, 36 minutes, and 50 seconds, Sean Northam, the attorney, will explain why Kevin Cry is correct on all of this. It's worth watching. It's only about 15 minutes, if that long. If you go to the meeting that's 7:25:23, that's July 25th, and go to 5 hours and 37 minutes, that's where Stephanie Bridget gives her presentation and how it's explained the funds and why she got to disperse the funds. She didn't do anything illegal as far as dispersing those funds. We just think that they could have been done a little bit differently. So let's go to that first clip there, if we can, Christina.
Morning, Board. Tim Hill, District 1.
That's okay. She got the second clip. She's putting the first one on now. That's just fine. We'll get to it. The first one's Nathan again, I believe.
We're giving him four in one show?
Give me a second, please.
No, your time's up, lady. You betcha. Take your time. You're doing a wonderful job, Christina. But, you know, it boils down to, are we being represented? us, the average citizen, are we being represented by our leaders? I keep saying, you know, Redding and Shasta County is being run by liberals. And you've got an overwhelmingly conservative county.
Yep.
How did all these liberals get elected? I don't know. I hate to say election fraud, but I look at the past and I just think there's been some manipulation in our votes here and there. Well, not everyone, but, you know, sometimes to help get them over the finish line.
Well, and the funny thing is, you know, Nathan and his ilk, which includes all liberals, think that their opinion is the only one that matters. I don't trust the elections. I don't trust those machines. The majority of America has spoken. There's actually been cases. Oh, I wanted to say something about one of the speakers who spoke up at the Board of Supervisors. For the love of God, though you don't believe in it, for the love of God, do not ever quote liberals that there have been cases about
election fraud. Been thrown out. There's been 65 of them.
There has not been one single case ever tried where evidence was provided. Not one. And you guys keep quoting that. Ah, there were 66 cases and no election fraud was ever found. That is a patent lie. Never had it. However, Nick and I pointed out that the Trump thing may be backfiring on those bastards because he now, in his defense, be able to ask anybody from across the country to come in and provide evidence of fraud. And I would not be surprised, Mr. Nick, that if in Georgia that case gets dismissed as they start to realize they might have opened a can of worms they didn't mean to open up.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe they better just drop the charges.
Well,
maybe we should send Nathan back to advise him.
There you go.
Let's go with that clip now. Christina's got her popping, man, popping.
Disbursement of these funds. But I again question $7 million going to the Children's Legacy Fund when the whole board is nothing but all friends together. The person who runs the Children's Legacy Fund, her salary in 2018 was $19,200 working part-time. It is now in 2021 $160,000. God only knows what 2022 is. That hasn't been filed yet. She got 14%. Of the money, $50 million, and it doesn't have a thing to do with IGO. Oh, no. Bella Vista Farms. I know Chick Miller. I know Bob Miller. Nice people. They have a bunch of animals up there. They got $500,000. Let me tell you what they filed in 2021 on their 990 form. Their total income, $34,000. 2020, $37,000. 2019, 40,000. Seems to be going downhill. Buy non-COVID, do whatever. Why would they get 15 times their collection that they do? For what? They didn't do a thing for the Zog fire. Nothing. I was there. I was the one that reported the Zog fire. I was the one that drove up Zog Mine Road trying to knock on doors, getting people out of their homes. Unfortunately, I wasn't too successful. There's a lot of questions in where this money's going, and I know exactly how it goes. You had the fire department, you had the sheriff's department, you had the police department. They all got together with Stephanie Bridget and her, and the attorney who was in charge of this, who's now going to be another judge here. The family that plays together stays together, and that's exactly what it is. It's a backroom deal. And we need to stop.
Okay, that was Matt. I don't know who Matt was, but he was very well spoken. He's a tall, clean-cut, articulate, educated guy. Maybe he's just getting over his education and realizing what's going on. I'm making a joke there. But I've got Tim Hill coming up. Tim spoke right after him. And Tim is he's the secretary of the recall movement. And pay attention to what old Tim has to say. But, yeah, that guy, you know, Bella Vista Farms, $500,000. I think that's what they
That's
got.
What he said. Yeah, he said $500,000. And like he said, that's 15 times their normal income. For what? Zero.
I think they would have been real happy with $100,000.
I think they'd been happy with $30,000. It would have been a 100% improvement over what they had all the previous years. And so that one, you know, again, that's some of the stuff that has to be looked at. I think that this guy is right. The laying out of the money, though not illegal, has a lot of questions on the location, how, and then maybe explanations from whys. I mean, it'd be interesting to see if Bridget would ever come on and tell people why she did that. I guarantee you she won't.
Oh, I'll guarantee you if she does, she'll have a really good explanation.
Well, it won't make sense.
That doesn't matter. They talk around in circles to where, you know, you just give up. Okay, go away. So let's listen to Tim Hill. Are you ready?
Morning, Board. Tim Hill, District 1. Yeah, fire in our area is tragic. You know, I personally was engaged in the car fire, and when the bombers start flying, you know, I still get goosebumps to this day. And so for the people at the Zog fire, you know, my heart's with you, and it's just a traumatic thing. And this board taking advantage of that situation is inexcusable. Mr. Garmin, your response is appropriate. That's your district. You went through the proper channels. The Attorney General of California is who the DA reports to. So having them look into this is the proper way. You know, it's, you know, the Tickle Me and Selmo crowd, of which you three are a part of, you know, you tried to get the DA out by running someone who was completely unqualified for that role. And he lost because the public elected the DA. So this whole event that you're all running here, you know, is just, there's no action, there's no vote. It's just for show. And I'm not okay with that. And it just furthers my resolve, Kevin, about why we're recalling you. Judgment, character, and, you know, it's all about you.
Thank you, Tim. Good luck.
So he started out talking about the Zog fire money being divvied out, and he blames those three for it.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes absolutely no sense. And this is the guy, this is the secretary of the recall movement. By the way, I'd like to take a moment here and thank the recall people for listening to our broadcast.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, they listened to it. In fact, one guy at the meeting, he started yelling at me, Nick Gardner, you fat shame two women. He did that about three times, and I yelled out, so what? He says, you're a fascist. And I yelled out, I'm a Nazi, too. And he gave up.
Well, and you know what's funny? It's Nick, this little exchange you and I have, that's exactly what they need to do to Nathan. Give him the mic. He will shut himself up very quickly. You know, these people, I cannot say it enough. It's dominated by liberals, and then you've got a couple rhinos who've jumped in. And I will say there is a disheartening part of what's going on. Is I'm friends with what I would consider to be a pretty conservative, and if you asked him straight up, you know, what things liberal would you side with, and he would be 0 out of 10 million. And yet he is siding with the liberals on in terms of what he's hearing about the Board of Supervisors. And I explained to this guy, I said, it's not right what you're hearing. Oh, yeah, Bubba. I'm like, we lost the dude. And it's just like, are you kidding me? This is a guy who is total red right. And I would ask him why, and he just, and he walks away. And, I mean, he's turned into a liberal. It's kind of scary, actually.
It sure is. You know, and getting back to the sheriff, why he needed so much money, maybe it's because David Keogh and Leonard Modi didn't have enough foresight to see that we were going to have to transport prisoners across Court Street.
Well, I will say
that's going to cost us a fortune.
Well, I got to say, we had a presentation from Mr. Johnson at the Board of Realtors the other day, and he talked about how the previous administrations, in their lack of foresight, and he did point out that it was a state decision, but the new jail, as per Mr. Johnson directly verbatim, only has 6 tiny holding cells. So the one that they're shutting down apparently has a holding room, and they can do they can connect them directly. But now he says they're going to be constantly shuttling people back and forth all day long. And so when these recall people go, well, there is, you know, there's no plan for the Dominion. That was the state. They did not talk to the local sheriff and go, what would you need for transporting and holding prisoners. They did what they damn well did with no plan at all. And Mr. Johnson was talking about all of this stuff going on, and I think he's being disingenuous in a number of items, because the reality is he's bitching about the agreement that was just signed for 30 years. He's bitching about the jail and everything else. Dude, that's your job. Get out there and fix it. Do what you can. You know, don't keep talking about how bad the Board of Supervisors are, because that's what he was basically saying. And that's – it's just – I don't agree with it.
I don't agree with shutting down that floor. You know, his proposal is to hire more or less community service officers to take care of the clerical and fingerprinting and stuff, to where he can use these officers to run the jail part where the mm-hmm. inmates are. Well, why didn't he think of that earlier?
Well, yeah, his proposal as he presented it just the other day was that he thinks he might be able to use contract labor for the clerical stuff, which could free up some of that issue that we're dealing with. But, you know, he went on to bitch about this 30-year deal that was just signed, and I asked him, because a liberal in the audience pointed out, you know, how unfair it was he wasn't consulted, which I think is a load, because he even in his own admission said he had heard there were discussions, and it didn't occur to him to maybe ask what were they about. But then he's going on about this whole thing, and I pointed out to him, well, Mr. Johnson, apparently the Board of Supervisors, the previous police chiefs, the previous sheriffs, were all fine with the casino not paying one red cent since the day they opened. And now they're getting millions of dollars plus a per-call rate. Is it the best? I don't know. I wasn't involved in the negotiations. But they could have told us not to get, they could have told us we're not getting anything.
And we'd still have to provide law enforcement.
We'd still have to provide. So we got something. And anybody who does negotiations knows the more people you bring into negotiations, the further away you're ever going to get to a solution, because everybody's going to put in their thing. So having a small group, maybe they could have had a COLA adjustment in there. Maybe they could have had a revisitation at 3 to 5 years to see if the cost is enough. Maybe they could adjust it. But the reality is, I think we got something that was definitely better than nothing.
You know what I've noticed about local politics is you see somebody out of the community come and run for a position, city council, supervisor, whatever, and they make a pretty good showing, but they don't quite win. And they're still talking about it and the issues and stuff. I've noticed they put them on some kind of a council to shut them up.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they ought to do with Nathan. Maybe he could be our negotiator. We could send him down to negotiate with the Indians.
I think that'd be great. I think he should be on like the homeless council. Let him deal with the homeless and see how far he gets negotiating with his point of view and thought process. See how far he gets with those folks. So what else you got, Nick?
Well, you know, we had a town hall, but before we get to that, my friends Hope sent me this. AB69 will ban hand counting in California for any contest county with more than 1,000 votes, any contest. If passed, we will be stuck voting with machines. This includes Shasta County. They're emphasizing for you to contact your assembly person and your senator and urge them to vote against this. This is a prime example of the state telling us what we can do and what we can't do. I think we're grown up enough to decide how we want to vote.
Well, and again, this goes back to Nathan and the recall folks. That is only supported by liberals. The conservatives do not support that. And for some reason, we're not worthy of having a voice. But that is a bill that is 100% liberal only, so they can tell us how we're going to vote, and then they can steal the election.
And now we've got a little old tiny bit of a voice, and boy, they're running scared.
Well, and you know, one thing that also I wanted to say, and I want to say it again and again and again and again, is they keep bitching about Mike Lindell and Kevin Cry's connection and this and that. For being honest, folks, why aren't you asking why did Kathy Darling go to probably the most evil man on planet Earth thing at the Spy Museum as a special speaker? She went to a George Soros funded and sponsored event. Why aren't you guys bringing that up? That concerns me 1,000,000% more than Kevin going to a Mike Lindell event.
And then We had a town hall for the Riverfront Specific Plan.
Yes, you did want to hear about that. Yeah,
we don't have time to go over it as much as I'd like to, but I can hit a few high points. One guy got up there, and he's running the show. He's the group that is going to put it together, and they want the public's input in it. So there must have been 125 people down there, would be my guess. It was at the Civic Auditorium, and they had a great big piece of paper about the size of a wall, and they wrote down people's ideas, and they passed the mic around after they got done talking. And the mic got to me, and I suggested that they take the old River Inn down there, that hotel that shut down, and make it a homeless campus. And about half the crowd started laughing, but, you know, they've got a restaurant there. They could do their cooking. They've got a swimming pool there. They could get their exercise by walking over and getting day passes to go through Turtle Bay. I think it'd be a win-win, and they could clean up the riverfront down there and pick up trash and do janitorial work for the cleanup. And then I got to thinking later where that octagon three-story building burnt down. There's a vacant lot right there. They could put little houses in that.
Oh, that'd be a shame.
These are our community members. We should include them in the riverfront plan. And one guy thought I was serious. At the end of the thing, he got up there and he says, I don't like the idea of a homeless campus down there.
Well, that's when the response would have been, they're already there. Just go along the river. They're already there.
But at the end of the day, it is my opinion, the only reason they're having this is so they can tell the Kutras family how they can develop their property.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to make all these zoning changes. They want to put trails in there, take up their private property with trails. One guy wants a boardwalk along there. Well, that might be good. They want little restaurants and breweries and all that stuff. That stuff's just fine and dandy, but that's owned privately.
Privately.
And, you know, I can see, you know, I heard on Carl Bott's show, Carl said that he talked to Chris Kutras, and Chris says, how about a two-story restaurant where, you know, you eat on the bottom, up on top, they're hitting golf balls.
Oh.
You know, there's a lot of things that could be put down there that, on top of that, let's go back to the River Inn. I talked to a contractor, an electrical contractor here in town, and he had got the bid years ago, when Kurt Starman was the city manager, so we're talking 15, maybe 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Bethel and the McConnell Foundation got together. He seemed to think Bethel owns that, or McConnell Foundation owns that piece of property.
Hmm.
They got together and was going to build it for dormitories for Bethel students.
Oh.
And they went so far as to solicit, get the bids, get them signed. We're ready to break ground, and Kurt Starman put an end to it right there.
Really?
Well, I would suspect Mike Warren put an end to it right there. He doesn't want them over next to his pet project.
No. No, no, no. Mr. Emperor Warren has plenty of projects with his picture on it, so he doesn't want to have that defaced by a bunch of students that are rowdy.
So Tanessa Audette, who is running for assembly against Mark Mazzano, she was on Carl's show Thursday, and you can listen to it at 8:30. I called in and asked her. I said, Mark Mazzano kept our civic auditorium from being voted on in closed session by saying he didn't want any part of it. This has to be public. Otherwise, Aaron Reisner and them would be gone now.
Yes.
And then he was instrumental in cleaning up a homeless camp on Hartnell, real close to Hartnell and Bocelli Lane, down in a little crevice down there. He was one of the driving forces that got that done. Bill Shoulder told me that was the worst camp he had ever seen.
Oh, wow.
And I said, what are your accomplishments? Well, you know, it was pretty thin.
It's crickets. Crickets, crickets.
Well, I've gone out and helped clean up after the homeless, you know, sometimes once a week, every other week, insinuating that's all Mark does. Mark does go down and feed them. I heard that Mark, one cold day down there, one of the homeless guys said he was cold. Mark took off his coat and gave it to him.
Wow.
He buys food. He buys sleeping bags and gives it to him. And my vote is anyway, Mark's a wonderful guy. And I think Tanessa Audette is just like Aaron Reisner. they're running on their looks and their talk, and they have no accomplishments.
Well, wasn't Mark, wasn't he also with Mike DeQuisto on that land deal that they were against it? Didn't he help expose some of that back in the day?
I don't think he was on the council then.
Oh, okay, okay.
I think it was a 4-1 vote.
Gotcha. All right.
Oh, and by the way, I sat next to DeQuisto for a minute at the supervisors meeting, and I says, what's the penalties for a Brown Act violation or censored? What's that mean? Nothing. It's a slap on the hand. They keep bringing up Brown Act violations. It's like, so what? What are you going to do about it?
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to make the threat of action make it sound like it's going to be worse than it is.
Modi censored himself. He knew damn well it didn't mean anything.
No. No, and then if you can have that authority to sit there and tell yourself you're a bad person, I guess that makes it good enough. So, Nick, what are you doing today? It's got 1 minute left. What are you doing today?
I have zero plans for today.
So people watch out. Nick's going to be out there. That's kind of a scary thought.
That's right. I might follow the recall people around.
Oh, there you go. And ask them simple questions. Where's this million?